You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Fashion.
It's fashion with Penelope Noir. Look good, feel good.
Hello, Penelope Noir.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
That's good. What are we going to be looking at today?
I don't even know why I started with an then. I thought that we'd look at the history of sunglasses.
History of sunglasses.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm one of those people that kind of picks things up and goes, oh my God, how did this get here?
Yeah.
I was thinking about that this morning when I looked outside and thought, oh look, it's sunny again.
Yeah.
Get my sunglasses.
I don't think I've ever really thought about sunglasses, like having a history.
Yeah, like, did sunglasses happen before, like, corrective eyeglasses?
Like,
was it the other way around?
No, I don't think so. I think it was, like, eyeglasses first.
Interesting.
But I could be wrong. Because I've only looked at the history of sunglasses. Are you guys multiple sunglass people, or are you one expensive pair that you guard with your life?
One.
I'm too poor for both of those options.
Yeah.
Do you have one cheap pair?
No, I do have an expensive pair, but they're really weird. You know the ones I'm talking about.
You always have awesome sunglasses. Don't you have like the cool Kazawazes with the bunny on the top?
Yeah, those are my expensive ones, but I got them for free, so...
That's not expensive. No. I used to be multiple, but now I'm kind of just down to about three.
I think if I had a choice, I would be multiple, but I don't think I'm in a position to be able to be multiple.
Yeah, one day. If you feel like it, but minimalism isn't. So basically, in my discovery on the interweb, apparently the Inuit people wore flattened walrus ivory sunglasses to block harmful sun rays, maybe snow blindness. But
ivory sunglasses.
Yeah, but I can't kind of find any kind of total evidence to back that one up. But the Roman Emperor Nero used to watch gladiator competitions through polished emerald gems held up to his eyes. Weirdo. So,
hey, if I was a Roman emperor and they were just like, hey, do you want to hold these up to your eyes and watch some? And I'd be like, all right, yeah. And I wouldn't be happy about watching the gladiator fighting, but I'd be pretty cool with like just being able to look through gems all day.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sparkly. And in the 12th century, Chinese judges used to have glasses made of smoky quartz lens. But that was more because they didn't want to have the people they were judging see their facial expressions, so they were kind of like, you know, kind of like hiding. And then this guy called James Ascoff around 1752 began experimenting with tinted lenses because he believed that blue or green glass could potentially correct vision impairments, which, you know, does kind of make sense, especially I guess if you are colorblind, because would green help you out? I don't know. Actually, I should not say that. Yellow and amber tints were used for people that had syphilis in the 19th and 20th century because they are sensitive to light.
At least it's a good way to know who has syphilis and who doesn't have syphilis.
Like wearing the badge. I think kind of like the third stage gaping holes in the head thing
is
going to be like
so you already
obvious.
Know.
Yeah. But getting into modern times. So basically... And then, like, in the early, well, kind of late 19th century, early 20th century, you know, people used to wear hair combs and they were made of tortoise shell or ivory and things like that. And that was kind of on the wane, and celluloid was invented. And there was this guy called Sam Foster who used to make these combs for, you know, for women to wear in their hair, and more specifically Hollywood movie stars and things like that.
It always starts in Hollywood, doesn't it?
Always does. And then, but what happened was, of course, movies came in and those people... You know, women were having shorter hairstyles, so they were having bobs and stuff in the 1920s. So his business kind of died out because he couldn't make combs anymore because they weren't wearing them. But luckily, with the fact that I guess the irony is they're on celluloid and he was making them out of celluloid. But it closed his business down. But then, so he had to reinvent a product. So he came up with sunglasses made of celluloid, and because of... injection molding, he was able to mass produce them. So he ended up selling them at Woolworths in Atlantic City and New Jersey, I think, on the site, you know, Yeah, from the supermarket and things like that. And he got Hollywood stars to model them. So they became really popular. Wow. So this is kind of like 1929. He founded Foster Grant, which is the sunglasses company that he was producing out of, and he kind of made loads of money. And then in 1937, basically anti-glare sunglasses were invented because of the US Air Corps. So, yeah, so like, they're flying around in the planes. They need something to protect their eyes.
Oh, totally.
So the military got in touch with this New York medical equipment based supplier called Bausch and Lomb, I think, and they created the first Ray-Ban aviator.
Yep, Ray-Bans.
Yep, Ray-Bans.
And that was like best friend.
Yeah, just a startup company. So they went on to, you know, create lots of things. 1952, they did the Ray-Ban Wayfarer, which is still their most popular. And they were made of plastic frames, so that's kind of like where that kind of ended up. But it kind of became really, really popular when Peter Fonda wore Olympian 1 and 2s in 1969 in Easy Rider. And then from then on, they were kind of like, you know, a total fashion statement to have sunglasses, and especially like in the 70s, you know, you think about how massive they are. But apparently,
when you go out and buy a pair of sunglasses, are you like, oh man, the sun, it's really bugging my eyes, I want to go get a pair of sunglasses? Or are you like, oh, those are cool?
I'm more like, oh, those are cool, I need new sunglasses.
Are you? What about you, Alice?
Well, actually, I have one pair, but I think they look good. But they're also very practical because they get glare masks.
But they are kind of like your item of flair too, aren't they, yeah, in summer? They're kind of like, what, you know, do you want to be kind of, you know, like I've got Ray-Ban aviators and then I've got some Celine plastic kind of ones. Mm. So I have like two. So one's kind of like, hey, I want to be Andrew Eldridge from Sisters of Mercy. You'll probably have to look that guy up. Or else the other one's like, oh, yeah, I kind of want to be like, you know, kind of a beatnik, you know. Mm. So it's kind of like I have two options. And then I have my pink early Kazawazes, which are like, they're bright fluoro pink plastic. Cool. Ones, but I don't wear those very often, but that's like when I really want to make a statement.
Cool.
But apparently this company that this medical company that created Ray-Bans and things like that, they sold for $640 million to an Italian company in 1999.
Wow.
So there's a lot of money to be made in sunglasses.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
They do get very expensive.
Oh my gosh, they're really expensive.
Yeah,
and like,
they?
The thing is too, is that they don't, you know, unless you really look after them, they don't have a very long lifespan because, you know, the little screws come out and if you scratch them, like the thing with me is that I have to be really careful now because mine I just kind of throw around the place. And
I'm so mirror. Bad. Yeah. I don't care. Like, I'll drop and I'll just be like, oh.
Yeah.
I will say though, I went from like a solid $20 pair that lasted me for many years until it broke, and then I got like a nicer pair, but like a, it was like a factory defect one, so it was cheap, but they were like a lot nicer, like the hinges and stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
you can do, tell like a quality pair. Yeah. But I don't know if they're worth like, you know, $600 or whatever sunglasses go for, $1,000. I think it's no limit, right?
Yeah.
Designer sunglasses.
I think like a really kind of mid-price range would be Le Specs. I think they've kind of like really upped their game with their design and stuff. And they have some really cool ones.
Yeah, they do.
And you can get those like at Mica in Ponsonby.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, they're really cool. Yeah, I like those ones.
I know so much more about sunglasses now.
Yeah.
Thank you, Penny.
You need to get some emeralds to hold up to your eyes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll just do that.
Yeah, cool.
That was fashion.
Ooh, tailoring.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.
Beep, beep.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.